Blog Talk Radio.
I dream of a city called glory, so bright and so fair. When I entered the gate, I cried, "Holy!" The angel, oh, met me there. They carried me from mansion to mansion. And oh, the sights I saw. Then I said, I want to see Jesus, the one who died for all. I bow my knees and cry, the gates of that city. I talked with Mark, sat down with Timothy, but I said, Timothy,
I bow on my
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We just want to welcome the audience to the Sound Doctrine broadcast. This is Dr. Ventura. We're coming to you live from Imperial Beach, California, Inverness, Florida. And we have some guests around the country we'd like to welcome and around the world, and those who have written to us, emailed us, texted us, and those who would like to chat with us. I'd like to give you the number before we start. It's 347-945-5416. And you can call the number and you can dial 1 or push the button 1 to get into the host, and you can speak to the host. It's a ladies' night again, and Christian ladies are coming together tonight to bring us the Word of God. And I want to welcome all the women that have tuned in that love the Lord, and those that are tuning in that don't know the Lord, and those who are joining us for the first time this evening. We want to thank you, and we want to just give God the glory this evening. Now, I have a scripture verse I'd like to read, and then we'll have a prayer. And then I'm going to turn this thing over to Sister Joanna Woody and my wife Marilyn, and we're going to get down to some serious business. And we'll take a break at 6:30. We have something special for the audience tonight. And stick around. Don't go away. You'll enjoy this. But the Word of God says over in the Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 13 and 14, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Amen. And you know, that was written by Solomon. Scripture says that Solomon, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge, yea. And he gave good heed and sought out and set in order many proverbs. And the preacher sought it to find out acceptable words. Amen. And that which was written was upright, even the words of truth. And we serve a mighty, compassionate, and loving God. Amen. And we thank Him for His Son, Jesus Christ. Holy Father, I bow down before You this evening, Lord, with our radio program audience, our radio family, our hosts and co-hosts, Lord. And we ask You, God, tonight that You would do something special for us, that You would touch every heart in a special way, Father God. God, You know exactly what each and every one of us need, Lord, and that from this lesson that You would bless the ladies' hearts and those men who are listening. And, Lord, that You would open our spiritual eyes and spiritual ears and give us wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of You, that we would have something new to work with this week, Lord, and this month. And, Lord, that we would be able to glorify Jesus Christ, Your Son and our Savior, Lord, who shed His precious blood for us. And we thank You, Father, in Jesus' name. Well, I'm going to turn this over to the ladies. I want to thank you all. I'll be back at 6:30 on the West Coast and 9:30 on the East Coast. We'll catch you then. Sister Joanna?
Thank you. Good evening. I want to give our next study information before I start, because I hate to tell you I may forget it, and I'd like for you to look at it and maybe do some research before we meet next, and bring in some comments, if you will. There were three ladies mentioned in Luke 8:3 who helped fund Jesus's ministry, and I think sometimes that we forget, because of the day when we, of who it was, that Jesus needed funds and food and things just like every human being does. And these wonderful women came to His aid, and they're very, very interesting, all three of them. It's Mary Magdalene. We know her a little bit. A lady named Joanna and one named Susanna. And we're going to look at them on October 16th. So if you would check that scripture out, and if you find any information out that you'd like to share, you can have it prepared, and I'd love to hear from you. Mm-hmm. So if we're ready, we'll start in on Lot's wife.
We're ready.
We're ready. Okay. Thank you. Well, this is an unusual lady. didn't speak a word, and we're going to look at her life and see what she says to us without speaking. A lot of people in the Bible that didn't say anything that do speak to us, so we're grateful for what the Lord teaches us through their lives. This lady was a pillar of the community, literally. She became a pillar in the community, and it's not a notable pillar. This was a very horrible thing that happened to her, and the sad thing of it is it still happens to people, and we'll see why as we look at her life. Jesus said in Luke 17, and we're going to start at verse 20 because it sets up the scene that we're going to be looking at and the life that we're going to be looking at. And there were some interesting things as I read this again that I saw. It's really wonderful when you read the scripture over and over what you miss. I know I've read this so many times, but I miss this, and I want to point it out to you as we go over it. Of all the people in the Bible, you would wonder why Jesus would pick Lot's wife to tell us to remember her. Deborah did some wonderful things. Esther, Mary, the mother of Jesus, did and said some wonderful things. Lots of ladies, lots of people. David, Samson did some outstanding things, but Jesus told us to remember Lot's wife. And I think that's very significant. And as I was studying these women of the Bible, she became of particular interest, and we'll learn a little bit more as we go along. In Luke 17, verse 20, the Bible says this, and when he was demanded, this is an unusual statement to me, and when he, meaning Jesus, was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. And what Jesus was saying to them was, you're looking at the kingdom. I am the kingdom of God. And that word demanded, the Pharisees demanded that he tell them something. And why would they want to know? Did they think they had a place in it? Jesus said, it doesn't come with an outward show. It's what happens. The kingdom of God is in your heart. And he said, it's in the midst of you. I thought that was a pretty interesting statement. I think they were looking for a kingdom to make sure that they would have power operating at that time. That's how vain they were. Notice then that he didn't speak to them as he gave this scripture, these next verses we're going to look at. He turned to his disciples. And I think that was very significant. This is what he said to them. And he said unto the disciples, the days will come when ye shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and ye shall not see it. And they shall say to you, see here or see there, go not after them nor follow them. For as the lightning that lighteneth out of one part under heaven shineth unto the other part under heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day. But first must he suffer many things and be rejected of this generation. And as it was in the days of Noe, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also was it in the days of Lot. They did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Now, before I go on, did you note that something was missing in the day of Lot that was taking place in the day of Noah? Did any of you notice what that was? Marilyn, did you notice?
I didn't notice. Okay.
Are you? I didn't know if you might be following along with me. In the days of, in the days of Noah, they were marrying, it said, and given in marriage, but didn't say that in the days of Lot. That's not in the days of Lot. I thought that was pretty significant, that God would, that was not mentioned there. But he says that the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all, even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, he which is upon the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. Now, those are prophecies. That's some scripture that I must admit to you, I don't understand all of it. I've not studied it. I would have to get Brother Ventura and some of those who have studied this a little deeper to explain some of that. But our focus is on the next words that Jesus spoke. Remember Lot's wife. And I wanted to be sure that you understood the context in which he was saying this. He's talking about on two occasions when God judged the world or judged the people in the world at that time. One was in Noah's day and the other in Lot's day. And in Noah's day, the flood came. In Lot's day, it was fire. Fire and brimstone, it said, fell from heaven. And Jesus said to remember Lot's wife. That's a strange insert in there. So when I went back and looked at her life, we don't know her name. This is what I did find out about her, beginning from in Genesis, I can't remember the chapter it started in with Abraham. I think it's 12 or so. Let me go back real quick and I can tell you I didn't write that down because I forgot it. In chapter 12 of Genesis, we begin the study of Abraham's life, and God called Abraham away from his people, and Lot, his nephew, went with him. I've heard a lot of people say that Abraham shouldn't have let Lot go, but whatever, however that went, that was the way it was. Lot went with him and his family. And he didn't go to, when God called him out, it was to a land that he didn't define and to a work that wasn't defined. And so Abraham followed God totally in faith. So how did she get from that trip with Abraham to this verse in Luke with Jesus? First thing I thought about, too, was how could we remember? And as I thought that, I think we remember her because of what she forgot. And even worse than what she forgot is what she did not see. And so as we go back now and kind of unwrap her life, see what happened to her. As I thought about this, these are real people. These Abraham, Lot, Lot's wife, Sarah, these were real flesh and blood people. And I think sometimes as we read the Bible, we tend to forget that. And can you just imagine Abraham going into Sarah and saying, we're leaving, where are we going? She says, I'm not sure, God just told me to go. What you going to do? I'm not sure, God just told me to go. A lot of women would not make that trip with their husband, I can tell you. If he wasn't sure where he was going, what he was going to do, I don't think they'd want to follow. But anyway, in faith, they all left. And when I thought about that, I thought about this. Can you imagine the excitement that was in their life as she thought about that? As here you go on an adventure with your husband, with the people you love. I think they had good relationship between the two of them. I think Lot was a little weaker in his faith than Abraham, but they seemed to love each other, and Abraham sure displayed a lot of love for Lot. And can you imagine the excitement that as they left? And then as Mrs. Lot continued to watch Abraham, he was the patriarch, if you will, and the leader of this group. She saw the struggles that he went through with the famine there where they went into Egypt. I'm sure her and Sarah talked, and she probably learned of how Abraham lied and said, Sarah was his sister, and yeah. she thought, my goodness, what, you know, what's going on with Abraham? And then the fight over the land, remember the herdsmen of Lot and Abraham had so many flocks, cattle were so many that they needed more grazing land, and they got in a fight over it, and Abraham had to settle that. And they went down into this plain there in front of, outside of Sodom and Gomorrah. And the Bible says in Genesis 13:10, this is when we get our first look at Lot as he looks at Sodom and Gomorrah. And it says, Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest to Zoar. This was a beautiful terrain that Lot looked at, easy to farm, easy to work. It also was right outside of the city of Sodom and Gomorrah, and very pleasing, evidently, to Lot. So he chose that area, and Abraham went on into Canaan, a rougher, not quite as pleasant, not quite as green and that kind of thing, as where Lot was looking. Verse 12 then says this, Abraham dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. So Lot is looking at a land that the people are wicked, and kind of sets his tent so he can look at that. And I think that's red flag number one for this family. Again, we go back to their progression here. Lot gets at the kings in that area get in a fight. Lot's in the middle of it. Abraham has to go down and rescue him. Then Lot sees the situation between Abraham and Sarah as they take matters into their own hands, and that event with Hagar takes place and Ishmael is born. And then on their way to Sodom and Gomorrah, as Abraham sets up his tent, these angels stop by and talk to Abraham, and Lot's wife is unaware of that conversation. She doesn't know that they're really literally talking about her, but this conversation really does affect her. And these angels again affirm to Abraham that God would fulfill his promise to them. Sarah, bless her heart, was eavesdropping and her laughed as she thought of having a child at her age, and God caused her to name the boy Isaac, so every time she called his name, she had to be reminded that she laughed at him. I think that's God's good. Then the discussion came in chapter 19 of that terrible destruction, and Abraham tries to bargain with God. Remember, he started out with 10, I think 10, and got down to 5. If there were 5, if God would spare the city, and they couldn't find 5. And then the scripture says in chapter 19, the two angels came to Sodom at even. Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, and Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. So Lot has taken up in Sodom in such a way that he's now part of the governing body there, because when men sit at the city gate, it means that they have a place in government. So Lot has just moved in, if you will, and become part of that society. And as we read on, this is I didn't write the Bible. A lot of people have a problem with this homosexual situation, but we didn't write the Bible. We just tell you what it says, and that's exactly what was going on here. He saw these angels and invited them to his house and extended to them the hospitality in verse 2. Behold, now my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house and tarry all night and wash your feet, and you shall rise up early and go on your way. He's trying to move them on, get them moving. And they said, no, we'll abide in the street all night. And that was a custom. They had places that visitors that didn't have a place to stay could just sleep there on the streets in the night. And Lot said, you know, no. And he said he pressed on them greatly, and they turned into him and entered his house, and he made them a feast. And I'm sure Mrs. Lot and the girls were real pleased with Dad bringing somebody home and not telling them about it, but that was what he did. And before the men could even lay down, verse 4 says, the men of Sodom compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them. And that's no in a sexual sense. And Lot went at the door and shut the door after him, and he said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. He's trying to reason with these men who seem absolutely crazed. In verse 8, he does something that is just unbelievable. And behold, now I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing. For therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. And can you just imagine that scene of these men so wanting to get into these men, these strangers, and Lot literally offering his daughters? That is just unreal to me. But that was the situation in that city. That is where Mrs. Lot was living and chose to live. And so Lot continues to try to get these men away from the door. Verse 10 says, but the men put forth the hand and pull Lot, this is the angels, into the house and shut the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so they wearied themselves to find the door. Even after they were blinded, they still tried to get in that house. Can you imagine such a crazed community? Can you just imagine living there? And then the men in verse 12 tell Lot, do you have any here besides the sons-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters and whatsoever thou hast in the city? Bring them out of this place, for we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. Now this is a pitiful commentary to a man's life. It says, but he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. He had absolutely no testimony with these men of who he believed in, because when he warned them of the judgment to come, they mocked at him. But before we think that's too weird, have you talked to anyone lately about the rapture? Are about the coming judgment of God on the earth, and people think we're crazy. They think we're crazy for believing that, but we know that it's coming. And in verse 15, when the morning rose, the angels hastened Lot, and saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, now Lot is still lingering, the men laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife and the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him. And they brought him forth and set him without the city. And it came to pass, when they had brought him forth abroad, that he said, escape from thy life. Look not behind thee. The angels are telling them now, the whole family, do not look behind you. Neither stay thou in the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. So God had an escape route made for these people, warned them not to look back. And Lot said unto them, oh, not so, my Lord. So Lot begins a protest that he wanted to stay. He wanted to stay close to that city, even with the destruction coming. And his wife and his daughters with him. And he even begged to stay to a little city nearby that he could still see, go back into the city. And God is telling him there's going to be no city left. So that is the setting, if you will, for Mrs. Lot. And then judgment comes in 24. It says the Lord rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. Those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. And his wife looked back and she became a pillar of salt. So this is where Jesus is saying, remember Lot's wife, remember what she did. And this is what I came to with the situation with her. What do we need to learn from her? What did she forget that you and I need to remember? What did she not look at? What was she not observing that was going on around her that she was so willing to stay in and even lose her life? So I'll wait until we get our break, okay?
Amen. That's it. That's great teaching. That's good stuff. Good background, good information. I can't wait to find out. We got to get our answer. Amen. We have with us tonight, Sister Sherry's here.
Hello there, Sister Joan. How are you?
I'm great, hon. How about you?
I'm terrific. It's wonderful to hear the word. Thank you.
Thank you.
Amen. And we also have two young girls here who are part of our youth ministry, and they've come to sing Gentle Shepherd for us this evening. And I'll let them introduce themselves. And what's your name, young lady?
Savannah.
Yes, you talk to the Savannah, is that what you said?
Yes.
Say it again.
Savannah.
And your name?
Kiara.
Kiara. Savannah and Kiara. Okay.
Very good.
We're going to sing a special and the Lord have his way. Amen.
Gentle shepherd, come and lead us, for we need you to help us find our way. Gentle
out there listening out in Connecticut, and we wanted to welcome you, Sister Gail. And you want to call in, the number is 347-945-5416. 347-945-5416. And you can join this live broadcast at any time. All you have to do is call in that number and push number one. Put you right in the host queue. Brother Nathan Hill's in the background running the switchboard, and he's got the calls. He's observing. He sees your chats. I know he's answering your questions. And if you're shy, you can chat. You can go online to Nathan on the Spot, Sound Doctrine Broadcast. You can see it right now, live on the Internet. And there's a chat box in the lower left-hand corner. If you go down to that chat box, put your question in, we'll see if we can get it answered for you. So I'm going to turn this back over to the ladies. And we thank you for the music, ladies.
Amen.
And young ladies. And we just praise the Lord. It's good to... good in this day and age in our society to see young people that love the Lord. Amen?
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Brother Peter. That was
Amen.
Precious.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
All righty. Are we ready to get back to find out why she what she forgot that we need to remember?
Yes, we are.
Okay. Okay, in Luke 17, where we got our scripture, as Jesus explained those days of Noah and Lot, what it meant was they were going about their business, they were eating and drinking, they were marrying, living what we would consider normal life. The day of Lot, the marriage is left out, and I think that's very significant. I think that was a time when homosexuals were, that was just that time that they were, God called judgment down because of that. And as I think about our day, that's exactly how we're living. People are about their work. How many people are looking for Jesus' return? And how many Christians are looking for Jesus to come back? I know here in Florida, these September skies are absolutely gorgeous, and the Bible says that, you know, the clouds display His glory, and every time I look up and see those clouds, I think, boy, today could be the day when Jesus comes back and takes us home, and what a day that'll be, and I'm glad to even think about it. But God says of that day that He saw the wickedness of man in the earth, and it was great, and every imagination of his hearts was evil continually. And I think about the way we live and the way our society has gotten, that the things that we do is just evil continually. I was talking to somebody the other day about the, you know, immorality, the way people are living together, and just not any shame in it. And I spoke to her about it, and she said nobody marries anymore. She said, in fact, they shouldn't have to. And she added this. She said, thank God we're not prudes in America like we used to be.
Wow.
And I thought, you know, boy, isn't that a sad commentary to us? So this is what I saw from Mrs. Lot. This is what I learned from her as I studied her. And this is what I think. This is exactly what happens to us when we don't remember Mrs. Lot. This is what she forgot. She forgot how her journey began. I think she forgot how excited she was. She left with her husband on that new journey, a little bit risky, not sure of what all might happen, but the possibilities. And here was she was with a great man. She had Abraham, a man of God, leading her. I think that she was looking at life with really a clear vision, and thanking God for the trip and being privileged to be a part of that family that was taking that trip. And then I think about us. Do you remember when you first accepted Christ, how happy you were, and how we told people, and just on fire, and just like we couldn't get enough of the Word and of study and of being around God's people? And that first love that we just were so happy about, I think that's the way she started. She was so excited about her journey, but as the farther she got into it and as things started happening, she maybe a little excitement wore off, kind of like we do. We don't read our Bible one day. We're not praying like we should, and miss a couple of Sundays at church, and then pretty soon you're not going at all.
Mm-hmm.
And that fire from that first love when you first accepted Christ has kind of burned out. And if you're disillusioned, it's not quite what you thought it was. And I'm sure Ms. Lott, when she saw her husband in those wars and all the difficulties they had to go through, and then they found this city, and it was exciting and new. She just forgot how her journey began. And I think we do the same thing. I think another thing that she forgot was who helped her along on her journey. Remember how Abraham protected Lot, how he rescued him when he got in trouble, how he gave preference to Lot when Lot wanted the better land, and he didn't argue with him. He gave Lot the good land that he wanted, and he took the harder land, the harder to work and a little harder to live on. I think she forgot the good things that had happened to her, the good people that helped her along on her journey. But before we get too hard on her, do we remember how many times God has rescued us? Do we remember how many times he's provided for us, how many prayers he's answered for us, how he's met our needs over and over? Once we get too far from that first love, the hill gets a little slicker and we start falling a little faster. I think another thing that she forgot was the sacrifices that were made for her. Abraham and even her husband provided for her. She may have become accustomed to some nice things and some things she had there in Sodom that she didn't have when she was out on the plains with doing that traveling, that nomadic life. She got there in Sodom, it was a little easier, and she forgot what it cost to get her there. But again, before we're too hard on her, how many of us forget the sacrifices that were made for us? And I think of that more nationally sometimes, and even in my Christian, look at what the disciples, look what it cost the apostles to get the gospel out. They died rather than deny what Jesus had done for them. Look at the soldiers that have laid their lives down for us to live in a free country, a country that can get the gospel out, a country that other nations look to help them with the gospel, to help them with their needs. And at one time, that was our goal, was to be that shining light on a hill for them. And look how we've forgotten the sacrifices that were made to make us great, and the sacrifices of Christ that he gave his very life for us to share with other people. She forgot the sacrifices made for her. And then I think this one is the most devastating of all, and I've seen this happen many times. She forgot where she came from. She forgot where she came from. There's a story of a king that left his castle every day, and he would go to a little building near 4 or 5 miles from where the castle was, a little kind of a rundown place, and he would go in and stay a little while and then come out. And some of the villagers happened to notice him doing that. He was a good king, a kind king, and they thought, what is he doing going there? And so one afternoon, some of the villagers decided to follow him, and they did. And as they saw him go into the little building, they went to one of the windows there and looked in, and they saw him sitting on a little bench, a little chair, and there were these peasants' clothes down in front of him, these old, worn, ragged clothes. And he would look at them, and he would weep. And then he'd get up and leave. And one of the villagers stopped him and said, "Why do you do that? Why do you go back to that old building and look at those old clothes?" And the king looked at him, and he said, "I never want to forget where I came from."
Amen. Wow.
And I think sometimes that's what we need to do. We get too far from Calvary. We don't forget how our journey began, that first love that we had for Jesus, that help that he's given, that ultimate sacrifice that he made for us. We don't live at Calvary, but that's where our forgiveness was won, but we never should get far away from there. Our forgiveness is at Calvary, and our power is from the empty tomb. As Jesus resurrected his body from the dead and gave us the Holy Spirit, I pray that we won't forget what it costs. Forget. We don't have to just stay there, but don't forget it. That's what I think happened to Mrs. Lott. She forgot where she came from. She forgot the price that had been paid for her and what Abraham and Lot even had done without, to see that she had the best. The old hymn writer was correct when he wrote the words to that beautiful song, "Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow." We never want to forget that. And I pray God we won't ever. But even worse than what she forgot is what she did not see. As she looked around her in that terrible society, that community that she lived in, just horrible people. This is what I saw that she didn't see. She didn't see the danger of an easy life. She didn't need anything. Her husband was successful, so she thought that she didn't need anything. I know I went through this one time when I was working on the streets of West Virginia with my husband. We were down kind of in a slum area, and we were passing out tracts to the people down there and talking to them about the Lord, and it was real easy for me to do that because these people I knew and they knew had needs. But as I was leaving one lady I was talking to, I looked up toward a bank building, and there was a real well-dressed lady coming out of the bank, and the Lord told me to go give her a tract. And I have to tell you, confess, I said, "Lord, she doesn't need anything. She's clean. She's probably saved." And the Lord kept impressing it on my heart to go give her a tract. So I did. I walked up to her and I told her my name and where we were from, and I said, "I'm just here today, and I'd love to give you a gospel tract that tells you that Jesus loves you and gave his life for you and resurrected from the dead that you could have eternal life." And she started crying. And she said, "You're the first person who has ever said anything to me about my soul." And I felt guilty because when we see the well-to-do, the affluent, we think sometimes that they don't have any needs. But this is what Revelation 3:17, Jesus said, "Because thou sayest, I am rich and increase with goods and have need of nothing, knowest thou not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked?" So the danger of an easy life is that you don't know how much danger you're in. I had a friend one time who told me to pray this prayer, and I've learned to do this. It's a one-sentence prayer, but I love it. She said, "Don't pray for an easy life. Pray to be a strong believer."
Wow.
And that has been wonderful for me. She didn't see the danger of this easy life. She didn't see her personal responsibility. She didn't seem to be concerned about her example before her daughters. She seemed very selfish to me. She, just because her husband was considered a good man, does not mean that the wife is. Ladies, we're responsible for our own salvation. I love my husband's position in my life. When he was alive, he was a godly man. He was the leader of our home, the spiritual leader of our home. But I am responsible for my relationship with Jesus. I have to feed myself daily from his word. I have to speak with him daily to keep my communication and the sweet fellowship that I share with him. I can't depend on my husband or couldn't then, or and you can't. You need to develop that, your own strong relationship with the Lord. You can be a better support and a better mate for your husband. The stronger in the Lord you get, the better mate you will be. And I pray that you will recognize your personal responsibility. I don't think Mrs. Lott, I don't think she had a hunger and thirst for God. I think she was drinking the Kool-Aid that the world was giving her around her. She wasn't going after the things of the Lord. Jesus knows how quickly we can dry up, and he tells us in Matthew 5:6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. So I pray tonight that you recognize your personal responsibility. And this is another thing I don't think that she saw. She didn't see the deterioration of the moral values around her. As we live in this life, and it's not politically correct to say some things, and sometimes people will say it's just easier to go with the flow. Like our kids tell us sometimes, everybody's doing it. You know, you ask them why they're doing something, well, everybody's doing it. And I'm sure your mother gave you the same response mine did. If everybody jumps in the lake, are you going to jump in the lake? Sometimes it's just easier. We think it's easier to just go with the flow. She didn't take a stand. And I pray that you see how all of this has happened. She didn't go down all at once. This was a little slide, and before she knew it, she had slid far away from the Lord and lost the freedoms the love that she shared with him. The worst thing she did was she didn't value her testimony, and I want to encourage you ladies tonight and men that are listening, protect your testimony. You need to watch every step because you do not know who's watching you. And a slip of the tongue, ugly gossip, it's not worth your testimony. Just look at Lot. His sons-in-law didn't even believe him. And we need to protect our testimony. We need to keep our testimony clean. Be sure that you live right. Treasure what God has done for you. Protect your right to share the gospel, and don't let your life be of no effect. Revelation 12:11 tells us how we can overcome the accusations of our enemy, the devil. I love this verse of scripture. I read this over and over, and it's talking about the tribulation saints, but it applies to us as believers. It says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. We overcome by the blood. We have trusted Jesus Christ for our salvation, him only, nothing added to it. My total trust and faith is in the blood of Christ, the shed blood of Christ. I have no other, there's no other salvation for me. We overcome by his blood. The second thing is the word of our testimony. We need to be sure that we walk, as Ephesians tells us, circumspectly, that before you say anything, look at who's listening. Be sure that you don't tarnish what God has done for you. We need to stay focused on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, and trust his Holy Spirit to help us live this journey so that our word will be effective as we share the gospel. And we don't love our lives unto death. I pray that we would so be like the apostles that before we would deny Jesus and what he's done for us, we would die. We would rather be dead than to deny what he's done. As I thought, finished thinking on her, and we'll close this up with this, I thought, what does salt do? What is salt supposed to? Why a pillar of salt? Why did you think the Lord turned her into that? Well, I checked on salt. It preserves, it flavors, it purifies, it cleans. It's used in every area of life. People on farms use it. Industrial workers use it in chemicals. And there was a war during the Revolutionary War that was lost because the men didn't have enough salt, and they became weak. And the enemy found out, and they won the battle because they didn't have enough salt. So it strengthens us. And if it loses its ability to do any of those things I just mentioned, it's useless. It's thrown away. And Jesus said in Matthew 5:13, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden under the foot of men." So Jesus is saying to us, don't waste your salt. Flavor your life, preserve, clean, purify yourself, and be available on the farm, in the industries, even in warfare. We need to be salty people. This is my question to you. Is there a pillar of salt in your life? Is there a place where you knowingly have disobeyed the Lord? Have you, like Lot's wife, forgot your first love, forgot who helped you, forgot the sacrifices that were made for you, forgot where God brought you from? How is your spiritual eyesight? Can you see the three enemies of your soul, the world, your flesh, and the devil? The world does not want us to believe in God. It wants us to disbelieve his word and discredit his word. That's what the world wants to do. Your flesh wants you to become discouraged, disheartened, disillusioned, get weak and not stand. That's what your wicked flesh wants you to do. And the devil continues his attack on God's promises. He has not changed his tactics since the Garden of Eden. He just wants you to doubt God's word. He just wants you to say, I'm not sure God can do what he says he can do. I pray tonight that you'll keep the lenses of your soul clean as you wash them daily in God's word, believe his promises, and love his people. And that's what we need to learn from Mrs. Lot.
Oh, amen, sister.
That was very good.
Oh, my goodness.
Praise the Lord. Well,
amen.
Amen, Sister Sherry.
I said it was very enlightening.
Praise the Lord. Thank you.
Thank you.
I've enjoyed it.
Amen. Well, we've all learned a lot. We all learned a lot. And it's funny that you should talk about the salt. I preached on that about a week ago. We are the
Amen.
Salt of the world, right? Amen.
Amen. Jesus said to use it in our conversation, so we flavor our we should be excited, encouraging people, and I pray that we will be. I pray that we won't be like Mrs. Lot. The thing that I try to remind myself from every day is what it costs for me to have my salvation, that it costs the life of someone who loved me that much, and never take for granted or misuse it.
Amen.
And to love the other people that Jesus died for. And we'd be better off. We just love God and love each other, and that's what Jesus said to do.
Amen, amen, sister. Amen. Got a lot of amens over here.
Amen. Well, praise the Lord. I'm looking forward to the next one.
Now, what's the next one's subject for the ladies' group?
It's the three women, and it's called Paying It Forward. It's from Luke 8:3. It's on Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Susanna, three women who helped Jesus as he continued his ministry when he first, you know, when he began and began traveling, and so many people went with him. I didn't know, but on one of the accounts that I read, there were over 150 people that sometimes travel with him. So all of those people had to be fed, and you know, money's provided to take care of them. It's a really interesting. Those ladies are really interesting women. Three of them: Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Susanna.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
That's good stuff. Amen.
Now,
I enjoy it.
Now, for the Now, for the audience, you can archive any one of the ladies' programs or any other broadcast. If you go to the website, go to Nathan on the Spot, Sound Doctrine Broadcast, and you can look, hit archive, and a list will come up. You can thumb through the list, and you'll find other programs that you've missed. And if you've missed some, you really should go back, because there's some great, wonderful teachings, and specifically designed by the Lord to touch women's hearts. And to help you out in your Christian walk. And I hope that you will do that. And then if you want to, sister, if they want to contact you by email, how will they do that? What is your email?
All right. It's all one word and all lowercase. Joanna, that's Joanna Woody, Woody, at hotmail.com.
Amen. Hotmail.com is in. Hot and Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
And you can reach myself at ventura.peter77@gmail.com, and you can reach my wife Marilyn there also. And we look forward to hearing from you. You can also reach Nathan just by emailing Nathan, going to the spot, Nathan on the Spot. There's a link there. And you can reach us, and we're willing to talk with you. If there's anybody out there that doesn't know Jesus Christ, and if this program's touched your heart, I would encourage you to surrender to the Lord. You know, give up that life that's holding you back, those things that are keeping you back from receiving Jesus Christ. Scripture says today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow is not promised to us. I mean, you know, we might slip on a banana peel in the parking lot. We don't know. You know, life is a funny place. A man could fall from a 30-foot ladder and walk away, and another man could, slip from a 3-foot ladder and break his neck and pass into all eternity. And so, if you don't, you know, the question is that you have to ask yourself, if I died right now, am I 100% sure I would go to heaven? And if you're not, then you need to pray. And I'd like to have that opportunity to pray with you. If you'd like to receive the Lord Jesus Christ, if you'd like to, you know, if you feel that you're prepared in your heart to repent of your sins, to turn away, to head in a new direction, and you come to the cross, we all came the same way. We were all maimed, lame, blind, and crippled, and hurting one way or another, and Jesus is the healer. And if you come to Jesus Christ and you ask Jesus Christ, if you believe that he died for your sins and that he resurrected, and that he's at the right hand of God, then pray with me. So, Father God, in Jesus' name, I ask you, God, to forgive me of my sins. And I receive your Son, Jesus Christ. I accept him, Lord, in my heart. I believe he died for my sins. He resurrected, and he's at your right hand. And I thank you, Father, for this salvation, this gift of salvation, which you freely give to me. But truly, Lord, it cost the life of your Son. But I thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. If you prayed that prayer, we'd certainly love to hear from you. If you meant it from your heart, don't make it a profession. Make it a confession. You know, be serious with the Lord. If you were serious and you really turned your heart over to the Lord, then email us. Email us, contact us, call us. You can reach us at area code 203-240-0377. That's area code 203-240-0377. We have some literature we'd love to send to you, and we'd like to help you get along and start out. We suggest you get yourself a good King James authorized version of the Bible, and you start in the book of John. That's a great place to start. And learn a little bit about Jesus, and you can start a new life. The Bible says if any man be in Christ Jesus, a new creature, old things are passed away, all things have become new. Amen. All things become new, and then God's given you a new life. Seek that out. Find a good King James Bible believing church. If it says Bible believing church, odds are it's a good church. Amen.
Man.
So we'd like to thank you. I'm gonna pray us out, and then I'm gonna turn this over to Nathan. Holy Father, we thank you, God, for this opportunity to hear the wisdom that you have given these women, and God, the wonderful, wonderful blessings that we received tonight from this lesson, and that they would stick in our hearts, Lord, and that we would use them and to apply them to our lives, whether we're male or female, whether we're boy or girl, Lord. And if anybody, Lord, had received Jesus tonight, Lord, that you would just bless them and confirm it in their heart and spirit, Father, and show them that you are real. I ask you to watch over the ladies, Lord, that come together here, Brother Hill, And I thank you, Father God. And we just praise you in Jesus' name. We ask you, Father, that you would bless Sammy. You continue to heal him, Father, miraculously. Sister Kitty's foot, Sister Joan's hip. And we just have dozens of prayer because my daughter, Belva's, asked for prayer. And we know this audience prays. And Steve from North Carolina, he's asked for prayer for his wife. And Joe down in North Carolina for his family and his finances and to give him wisdom, Lord, to do the right things in life. And that you would bless the Imperial Beach, the Bible Believers Baptist Church here, and help it to grow in the Bible study, Lord. And we thank you, Father. We thank you for this time, and we praise you for your Son, Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Man, thank you, Brother Peter. Love y'all.
Love you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, brother. Good night, sister. Brother Nathan.
I turn away, no longer does sin have its hold on me. Through your precious amazing grace, and yes, it's a choice that I make each day, to hear your still small voice. Listen, trust, bow and obey. I repent of my sin and turn away. I repent of my sin and turn away.